Thank you, Pastor Nate, for an awesome time of worship. Hey, good evening, SP. Welcome to our New Year's Eve service. And it is right now 10:35, okay? So that means I have about an hour and 20 minutes to preach. So it's pretty good. Some of you guys think I'm kidding. You have not been around here long enough. This year, we're not going to typically, we've had this service since we started the church. And so we, like if you were here around last week, we don't really do Christmas service or, you know, other different kinds of things. But for some reason, just the New Year's Eve service really resonates with me. It resonates with our church. Something about new. Starting the season, and especially starting the new things right. And this is really what it's about tonight. You know, I was just walking through Lan Kwai Fong. You guys could have been there tonight, and you chose to be here. Very smart. Very smart. It's amazing at New Year's Eve, even though, like in most places in the world, when the temperature goes lower, usually the skirts also go lower. But in Hong Kong, on New Year's Eve, as the temperature goes lower, the skirts go higher. And it's like, my goodness, what's going on here, man? And so that's why it's a really good thing that you're here tonight instead of other places where you could be at. And so what we typically do, I mean, last year we did our rocks thing. How many of you guys still kept your rock? How many of you guys prayed over your rock and those things every day? How many of you guys looked at it every day? Right? Yeah, mine's right in front of my computer. I have to look at it every day, right? Except Monday, that's my day off, right? So it's upstairs. And so, you know, it's not so much about that kind of stuff. In the past, we've done goals, basically the Christian way of saying New Year's resolutions. And we've done that. I have mine in my Bible. I mean, I still have a whole bunch here from all these years, but we're not going to do that either. I'm just going to straight up preach, and we're just going to straight up pray. And if you don't like it, you can go to Lan Kwai Fong, man, all right? And stuff. So I just be very straightforward with that. I'm particularly not in a very good mood tonight and stuff, so you guys be ready. I'm just kidding. That just gives me, like, space so I can offend people, you know? But now that I said I'm kidding, I just lost that space. But turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 26. Our staff wants to remind you that there's no food or drink allowed in the sanctuary except for water. And so if you did sneak some food or drink in there, just please leave it alone. We've been here for over three, almost 4 years now, and we've been able to keep the sanctuary quite clean and insect-free, and so we'd like to keep doing that as well. So lift your hands if you need a Bible. One of our ushers will make sure you get one. Psalm 26. And I chose this psalm because this really is a psalm of reflection, of examining ourselves. Usually, I don't know about you, but usually around this time of the year, there's a lot of reflection going on. There's a lot of asking a lot of questions. I'll get into that a little bit. And so here's the reflective psalm of David. And in Psalm 26, my translation says, "Vindicate me." Actually, is a really bad translation. It should actually read, "Judge me." And so I'll use the original Hebrew, the word. And so let's read this. Psalm 26, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor will I go with pretenders. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I shall wash my hands in innocence, And I'll go about thine altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all thy wonders. O Lord, I love the habitation of thy house and the place where thy glory dwells. And do not take my soul away along with sinners, nor my life with men of bloodshed, in whose hands is a wicked scheme, and whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. My foot stands on a level place. In the congregations, I shall bless the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for this psalm of David, God, this psalm of a really self-examination of the simple words, examine me, O Lord, try me, test my mind. Really the words, test my inward being and my heart. And so we come to this place tonight, God, wanting to examine ourselves, Lord, wanting to test ourselves, wanting to see, God, if we have passed the test, Lord. And so I pray, God, that you would really speak to us tonight, Lord, as we venture in, not even venture, as we leap into, God, 2015, a new year, God. Lord, you're always about new things. And so, Lord, help us tonight to put the old things to rest, that we may focus on the new things that you have in store for us, God. But, Lord, the new doesn't come, Lord, until we have taken care of the old. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us tonight. Lord, to that end, we ask you to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. God, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just to convey your words, God, but to convey your heart. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We love you, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. 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 I really like this psalm. Vindicate me. Judge me, Lord. See if I have walked in my integrity. A lot of what we're going to be doing this year, and hopefully you've already started that process. We had a few weeks ago, we had our town hall meeting, and we basically examined our whole year. We did it with numbers and stats, but more than that, with stories and just how have we been doing as a church. It's imperative enough for us tonight that we examine our hearts. We examine ourselves. You know, David lays it out so wonderfully. He says, Lord, I've trusted you. I have not wavered. And so try me. Examine me. Test me. Test my mind. The word in Hebrew, the word mind there that's used in verse 2, the literal translation is kidneys. And so he's saying, you know, test my kidneys. In other words, talking about the inner man, our inner being. This is what makes who we are who we are. The olden days, they used to say if some guy was really tough, back in the days, probably you guys were too young for that, but they used to say that this guy has some guts. Do you guys remember that? This guy has guts. Or they would say nicer, is this person has some intestinal fortitude. In other words, his intestines are strong. It doesn't mean that he regularly goes to the bathroom, even though it can mean that. But what it meant was that his inner being was strong. You gotta understand the Hebrews had a really very clear idea of what made up a man, and it was really the stomach. And so when the Bible talks about heart or any of these things, it's really dealing with stomach. And so when you see phrases like the way to a man's heart is through his stomach, it's not really referring to food. It is now, but originally it meant that that's what his character was all about. That was his guts. It was this toughness. And then out of that place, that's where his heart flows from. And so now, obviously, it's about food. I know we're thinking a lot about food because we're not going to be eating food in a little while. And so we don't have to get that. But this is really the time of year of reflection, of asking a lot of questions, like I said. And you got to, you know, some of the questions, you know, what happened this year? Did I grow this year spiritually? Did I grow in my profession? Did I grow my job? Did I grow in relationships? You know, I'm going to ask my wife later on, have I grown as a husband? There's There's always room for growth. Amen? Right? Have I grown as a father? Right? I mean, have I grown as a pastor? Not only am I absorbing more knowledge, but am I more loving? I mean, these are the things that we are asking ourselves. One of the big questions that I'm asking myself is, am I happier today than I was a year ago? Am I more at peace with myself? Am I happier with myself than I was a year ago? How many kids do I have? That's another question that keeps coming to mind every once in a while. You got to recognize there are good questions and there are bad questions. The thing with bad questions, you get bad answers. And so I've had my share of bad questions. Let me share. These are some questions I've given, some questions that I've received. One of the biggest questions is always a fail. I encourage every man, never ask a woman this question, because you never know what the answer might be. And one of the questions I used to ask is, hey, are you pregnant? Don't do it. Don't do it. I've done it many times, and they weren't pregnant. And so then you're just in a very awkward moment, you know, and, oh, congratulations. Hey, are you pregnant? No. Okay. See you later, right? And you just move on. Here's one as a pastor that I just have a kind of a reflex, arm reflex, when I hear this. People ask me, P. Sam, should I tithe net or gross of my salary? And whenever I hear that, this reflex just comes and I just want to smack the person, right? What do you mean, net or gross? Come on, it's a stupid question. Of course, right? Here's one that I receive as an American. You know, Americans can sometimes be really stupid, right? So as an American, Americans are geographically challenged because we think the world revolves around ourselves. As an American, I say this. When I went back, people asked me, hey, is Hong Kong part of Japan or Korea? Are you serious? And they were dead serious. Right? These were college-educated people. Here's a question that I used to get a lot when I was really little, before the Korean wave happened. People used to look at me, especially white people, and say, hey, are you Chinese? No. Are you Japanese? No. Are you Filipino? No. What are you? I said, I'm Korean, man. They're like, what's that? And then it's always back with this. Oh, yeah, my uncle died in Korea during the war. I'm like, great. But that's where I grew up. There's bad questions. I mean, I get into a whole other things, but this is just for fun. Here are some interesting questions I found on the internet, okay? Here's one. If quizzes are quizzical, then what are tests? Are they tests? Just wait, make sure you're awake tonight. Andrew, you got that really fast. I think your mind is somewhere. I don't know about you, man. Right? Here's another interesting question that I found. Why do they sterilize needles for lethal injections? Very thought-provoking. Here's one. This is a mystery that every man can't understand. Why can't women put their mascara on with their mouth closed? Right? I think that's how it's done. All right. Sorry. People, you guys are really in a good mood tonight. Here's one. What do people in China call their good plates? You guys didn't get that one. I was on a roll. I should have just stopped right there. Here's the last one. If God dropped acid, would he see people? Only all the drug addicts will have gotten that. So I'm a little concerned for you again, Andrew. Right? Here's the question for this year, okay, going back into some serious stuff. Here's, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. This is what I feel like the Lord is saying to us. Ephesians 5, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. That the question that I want to offer you is, learn, try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. In John 8:29, and really this is really the heart of the Lord. In the book of John 8:29, Jesus is speaking and he says, "For I always do the things that are pleasing to him." I feel like God is calling me, God is calling us as a church to really learn and understand this passage. Try and find what pleases the Lord. For I always do the things that are pleasing to him. The scriptures and the Proverbs tells us a wise son makes a father's heart glad. And we need to be in the business, brothers and sisters, as followers of Christ, of learning how to make God happy. Instead of the other equation most times is, God, can you do something in my life to make me happy? That we flip this whole thing and say, God, how can I make you happy? How can I do things that are pleasing to you? See, even in human relationships, if you, now, I don't want you guys to raise your hands or anything, but if you're lonely these days, if you feel very alone and you don't feel like you have a lot of friends, people that you can really lean on and go to and whatnot, this year, if you're in that boat, this year, 2015, let that verse extrapolate it into so many different areas, really govern your life. In other words, if you just got it with a group of people and just consistently lived in a way that you're asking them, how can I please you? How can I bless you? How can I be a blessing to you? How can I serve you? In other words, if you lived a life that wasn't so self-centered and it became actually other-centered, it became really about Jesus and the way Jesus lived his life. Philippians, the Philippians 2 passage tells us that's exactly what he did. He loved other people. He regarded others as more important than himself. And so Paul reminds us to have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so if we simply went along in that way, man, you'd have incredibly meaningful relationships. I mean, if I really want to have a wonderful, wonderful marriage, and I feel like my wife and I feel like we have a great marriage. I mean, there's always room for improvement. I know that. She knows that. But if we set out in 2015 that we're going to look to each other and say, how can I be a blessing to you? How can you be a blessing to me? Can you imagine the depth of our relationship, the love that really flowed, that we are looking at each other as more important than ourselves? Isn't most of the problems relationally that we have with one another is because we just focus on ourselves too much about things? That it was more always about what I wanted and my way and or the highway and this kind of thing? Isn't that really the cause of most of our relational issues? Isn't that really the cause of most of our issues with God himself? In that we always choose to do our own thing. I'm going to do it my way. Lord, I know that you're asking me to do this, but that's not what I want to do. I'm going to do it the way I wanted to do it, and so on and so forth. And so if we just focus ourselves and really ask ourselves, Lord, how can I please you this year? Turn to your neighbor. I want you to turn to both of them because this is going to be such an important question. Turn to both of them left and right and say, hey, good looking, how can I please the Lord this year? See, brothers and sisters, if we If we're always going to focus on ourselves, then we will never walk in the fullness that God has in store for us. If the way we go about doing things this coming year is all about me, myself, and I, we'll never walk in the fullness that God has in store for us. I really love, I mean, one of my heroes in the faith is Paul, because his transformation it was so incredible. But Paul, he really understood what this really meant. Here he is in the book of Romans, the first verse of chapter 1, and he says, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. You need to understand, in this kind of context, that is the most horrible way that you introduce yourself. And I mean, in most places, this is not really how you do it. Let's say you go to a party, you want to meet some people, you want to impress people. You know, the first thing you say, hey, my name is Sam, I'm a loser. Nice to meet you. I mean, it's the worst thing you can say. We're always trying to put the best of ourselves in front for other people. But Paul says, I'm a bondservant of Christ Jesus. The word, I mean, bondservant is a really nice word. The word is slave. I'm a slave to Christ. Now, I mean, you can go through the whole thing. A bondservant, which is kind of used correctly. A bondservant is someone that's not a slave because of involuntarily. A bondservant is a slave voluntarily. In other words, he doesn't have to be. So remember, Paul's a Roman citizen. This guy's got a lot of things going on in his life. If you read the Philippians passage, we know that he's a Hebrew of Hebrews. He's a Pharisee. He studied under Gamaliel, which was the top rabbi of his time. Is basically getting a Harvard education or I don't know what other good schools are out there and whatnot. And I mean, this is like serious, serious stuff. And so, but the way he introduces himself, I'm Paul. I'm a bondservant. In other words, I'm a slave for Christ, called as an apostle. If I was Paul, I'd put the apostle one first. I'd say, I'm an apostle, and I'm a slave for Christ. But he doesn't do that. He knows who he is. He describes himself as a servant, not the exalted position, or even more exalted is the position of rabbi. But he doesn't do that. He says, notice the word. This is kind of a side note, but since I'm on this passage, he says, I am set apart for the gospel of God. What we need to do, many of us, we need to be set apart for, not from. A lot of times, we are set apart from things. That doesn't get us anywhere. We need to move from the from camp to the for camp. Right, we must move from what I can't do or these rules and regulations to now I am free to experience God in all of his fullness. I am set apart for the Lord. 2015, it's a focus on pleasing him. Let me just go through a little history with you a little bit. And I'm going to preach some of this coming up soon as well. But in 2013, we had our 10th anniversary, and it was awesome. We had an awesome party. God was really gracious to us. We were able to plan a few churches, including this one. It was just such a great ride, such a great adventure. And I recognized I started learning about the value of numbers even more so. Last year, last year, in about an hour, was the theme that we called, it was our 11th anniversary, our 11th year, and we said it was reboot, and we're rebooting, we're basically going back to our values, and then in 2015, I announced to the church that our theme going forward is this year is going to be Word and Power, and we're going to really dig deep into what it means to walk in word and power, word and spirit, and kind of organizing the preaching schedule in that way. And I learned a lot, and so about numbers. And so let me just share a little bit with you, And just kind of share a word that we got, a prophetic word that we got in that same regard. But in the 10th anniversary, just to give you a snapshot, 10 is the number of completeness. And so it was really good. When we had our 10th year, yeah, it was things really wrapped up. And it was amazing how God worked in such a way. But 10 is really a significant number in the Bible. The scriptures consider that it's the number of redemption. Okay, say that, number of redemption. It's the number of completeness. Now, in the Bible, the word the number 10 is used 242 times. The designation of 10th is used 79 times. This is too much. Let me just cut to the chase. So 3, just the idea of numbers, 3 means divine perfection. 7 means spiritual perfection. So 10 is a number of perfection or completion of God's divine order. 12, the number that we're stepping into this year, means governmental perfection. In other words, it's the year of authority. It's the year of the apostolic. And so I'm quite, you know, pumped up. That's why if you think about 12, 12 is the number of a jury. And so in the U.S., I don't know how anywhere else in the world, but there's something about this governmental authority, this structure that lays out. 10, the reason why 10 is important, because it's the only perfect number that in which humans play a part in. And this is why it's really important. You know, when we stepped into our 10th anniversary, it definitely was the mercy, the grace, the sovereignty, the will, the goodness of God. No church, no can ever step into 10 years, you know, be it 10 years of marriage, you know, 10 years of a church plant or whatever, without God's grace. But also, we also recognize, along with God's grace and God's power and God's mercy, there's also man's work as well. There's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that are part of the 10 years. I started a project. Usually around this time, I'm a real neat freak, and I like things neat and order. So this morning when I came into the office, I cleaned out one of the cabinets, our paper cabinets, and so no one mess it up again, man. I'm serious. All right, don't be messing up that paper cabinet. I just cleaned up, and so my project at home is to clean up all of our photos. So our iPhotos, and then they're running out of space. I'm cleaning it up, deleting pictures, you know, bad exposure, whatnot. And so I basically went through 12 years of photos at church, and I think I'm gonna bring some of them up because there's a picture of P. Nate, and he looks like a baby. Man, I was like, who is this? Who is that high school kid? It was Pastor Nate. And he had long hair and he wore these big old glasses, right? I saw your wife in another picture. You know, she had like really frizzy hair and, you know, so looked very, very different. Some of you guys look really good now. I'll just say it that way. And but it was so fun. I mean, I saw pictures of Kiwan, you know, early on days, and Matt and Rachel, actually a lot of their old timers. So fun. And I realized, wow, you know, and you know, honestly, I was going through it and I was getting a bit emotional. I was thinking, man, we've walked this journey together. It's been an amazing, amazing journey, you know. And I look out, some of you guys are more newer to the church, and so 10 years later, we'll talk like this again. But you know, especially to our old timers, man, we walked a long journey together. It's been such a fun journey. You know, I see Jungmin in the corner there. Right? It's such an incredible journey that we've been on, and it's just, you know, reminiscent of that. I see Tom back there as well, right? Just amazing. Yeah, Tom, man, this guy. I mean, he still looks like a baby now, but he looked like before a baby, like in the womb, you know. Even before then, I know that makes no sense whatsoever. It's late. I usually am at bed by like 10 o'clock, and so that's the cause. Any case, so 10, the number, perfect numbers that we have a part in this. And so this is the number of completion based on God's order and human responsibility. The number of 10, if you see, is built in our very anatomy. We have 10 fingers to do God's work, 10 toes, right, to walk upright before the Lord. It is made up of 4, right? This is the number of physical creation, and 6, the number of man. And as such, it signifies testimony, law, responsibility, and the completeness of order. Let me just give you a little idea of this 10. And all this, I'm just doing this just to give you an idea of this issue of God's work and man's responsibility in that work. I'll give you just a few ones. The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. I'm doing this a lot these days because I'm preaching a whole series on Ten Commandments when we get into the new year. But Ten Commandments, it's God's gift to the church, but also man's responsibility to follow. Do you see how those things work together? It's amazing how that goes. 10 virgins in the Bible. It's God's call, but only one virgin's response. Isn't that interesting? Only one had the responsibility or took responsibility or participated. 10 lepers. God's healing happens, but only one leper responds. Only one, a tenth, the 10 again, participates. Here's a good one. The 10 plagues of Egypt. There's 10 plagues that happen. God says to Pharaoh, Moses says to Pharaoh, let my people go. Pharaoh says, no. God releases 10 plagues, 9 plagues, watch this, 9 plagues. The Israelites don't have to do anything. They just are there. They actually are avoided from the calamities. But the 10th, again, this number 10, the 10th plague, guess what? Israel had to participate. So what did they do? They had to sacrifice a lamb. They had to take the blood, and they participated by putting it over their doorposts, and then the angel of death passed by them. In other words, God's doing it, but in order for that to work, man participated. When? 10th. So you see how the beauty of these numbers and how this works. I gave you another one, the tithe. Okay, so I'm not here talking about giving, but this is what the tithe is about. And if you just say, oh, the 10%, you totally lose out on this because it's the first 10. But the idea of the tithe, this is how it works. God blesses us. God gives us work. He gives us the ability to make wealth. And he prospers us. He gives us brains and thinking. And we're able to do all these things. And God says, here's my blessing for you. Now I want you to participate by giving back. It's really the first of it. Participate by giving the 10th. See, it's that participation that runs in, runs alongside. So he blesses us with gifts, blessings, vocation, jobs, and he just requires this participation in what? The 10th. And we see how this number works. 11, what we had this past year, 11 is the number of transition. And it's, and I tell you, we had tons of it this year. This year, I'll be honest, was the toughest year I've ever had in ministry. I've had some challenges this year, this 11th year, I've never had in 20 years of ministry. I don't even say 20 years of life. It was so challenging, so many things going on, so many dramas unfolding. Some of it, you guys sitting in this room, right, get your act together, man, right? No drama next year, okay? Some of it is, you know, outside of this, and some of it is just dealing with my own heart and God wanting to refine me and whatnot. But definitely it was the year of transition, and because 12 is the number of the apostolic, it's authority. And so this is a conversation I had with one of our speakers this year. His name was John Thomas, if you remember. He came and did the dream seminar for our kids and kind of teaching this seminar here in Hong Kong about teaching people how to hear God's voice. A prophet, a prophetic, a man of revelation. And I had this conversation with him, and we're just talking. So he was just basically asking me, what was the theme of the year, blah, blah, blah. So we're just talking. So I wrote it down, almost verbatim what he said. He says, metaphorically, 11 can represent transition, filling in something that is needed or the prophetic. 12 often represents governmental structures, apostolic or authority. And so he's saying, if I remember correctly, the context was you mentioning the church had been around for 11 years, and that echoed what I was feeling, that you were in transition from one season to the next. And this was a very strategic year to be going back to the foundational values of the church to prepare for an increase in authority and influence in this next season. And just something that he said just really resonated with me. Now, this is more towards the end of the year. And I think around October is when he came. And so he's going through a lot of drama, a lot of difficulty, a lot of hardships was happening. And so when these kind of things happen, you very much give it, I mean, hopefully you get very introspective. And you say, is there anything wrong with me? Like, am I doing something wrong? Is there anything going on? And I was kind of in that moment, and just really, if I could be honest, maybe feeling a little low, feeling a little down. And this is the value of the prophetic. It just speaks into our despair, into our junk, and really gives us life to step up into his purposes. I mean, there's really something about that. It's the power of the prophetic word. And so just that word, I got so much clarity. I get it. That's why God had us go back to our foundations. That's why God had us go back to our values. And so we spent this whole year talking about those values because he was transitioning us. He was moving us, and a lot of drama took place. A lot of things happened, and those things were refining us. They were refining me for sure. And they were just, you know, the heat was getting rid of the dross, and only pure gold was coming out of his, or hopefully, I hope that's what's happening now. And there's an increase in authority and influence in this next season, and that's what the 12 is. Man, I don't really know exactly what God's going to do, but I know it has something to do with word and spirit, a word and power. I'm praying for just tremendous miracles to happen within our community. We've been praying for a long time about a no cancer zone, and I absolutely love if SP was a no cancer zone. You know, that people would come to church and have cancer, and they would get prayed for, and they would leave church and not have cancer anymore. I know it sounds really simple, you know, but I'm really asking God for just the most amazing of miracles. And something about that cancer is I really pressing the button on that. A great philosopher said, "Cancer stopped modernity." In other words, the way that people thought, the modernity is modern is a way of saying it. But you know, people were very enthusiastic a couple decades ago. They were looking out to a world, and it was just amazing. And then cancer started becoming rampant, and no cure. You know, the world thought that we could cure anything. There's no problem that man cannot solve. And that was kind of the heart behind everything, the heart behind modernity. And then all of a sudden cancer hit the scene, and our greatest minds have not been able to prevent our mothers and fathers and aunts and uncles and cousins and brothers and sisters from dying of all different kinds of cancers. And then that led us into the postmodern age, which is really very cynical, very skeptical, unfortunately. But is this philosophy that cancer stopped modernity? And so as a result, there's something in my heart, is a zeal that, you know, not only because I'm a victim of a loved one passing away of cancer, even though that fuels me as well, but there's just something about that. And I want to see miracles, and I believe this word, that there is authority and influence coming in this next season of year 12 of 2015. So I'm excited. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I'm excited. So To get to that place, this is the postmodern question. So what? So what? Here's a so what. This is a now word. Solomon's Porch. SP. You guys listening? You guys awake? Wake up! Right? SP. 2014, we're a little stagnant. We're a little stagnant. We saw amazing growth. I mean, we saw a lot of people get saved, a lot of people get baptized. We had great services, our retreats. It was great. But overall atmosphere, we're a little stagnant. And my intercessor, Juanita, our church's intercessor, I think she said it really well when she came this past October or this past November. And she you know, was praying and been praying and covering the church. And she said, I just see a lot of stagnant water. And it really resonated in my own heart in that way. You know, even in the midst, and this is something, don't be fooled. We're enjoying tremendous fruit. We are. I mean, things are growing. A lot of things are happening. But don't be fooled with having a full room. You guys understand what I'm saying? Don't be fooled by numbers. You can, I mean, the devil works in the numbers. And so you got to be very aware. We are on the cusp of something, but there's a lot of stagnant water. And this is some of the reasons why I come into this conclusion, right? A lot of people are tired. A lot of people are tired. Let me ask you. You can respond, okay? Let's just be really, really honest today. I'm not talking about you're tired tonight because it's like 11:20 or so. I'm talking about that you're just very tired spiritually. You're tired of serving. You're tired of praying. You're tired of having quiet time. You're just a bit fatigued with this whole spiritual thing. Anyone in that boat? Right? Really? Just a few of you guys? There's a bunch of liars, man. You know? It's like you're a bit tired about things. We don't want to go to meetings. We don't want to go on outreach. If we do, we have to, like, psych ourselves out and whatnot. I mean, there is an issue that's happening. A lot of our old-timers at our church, they're not here tonight. You know, I mean, I think that says something, first thing off the bat. But the other thing is, like, our old-timers, they just can't be bothered these days. Our old-timers, these guys have been at SP for a long time. They'd rather sit outside in the foyer talking and having a dandy time instead of coming into service and worshiping the Lord. Don't worry, I'm going to say this on Sunday too, right? Because they're going to be sitting in the foyer. And so I'm not just talking to you guys, but I can tell they just can't be bothered. Stagnant water. People are constantly late for service. They're constantly late for ministry. Constantly late for house church. And people are not praying. People are not praying. Stagnant waters. We're in this place, and I'm not saying this to make you feel bad, you know, but really, it's about what does God have in store for us in 2015? If this is the year of authority, if this is the year of the apostolic, you know, of alignment and these kind of things. There's no way we can go into this year in the same way that we lived 2014. There's no way we can do that. And what's going to happen is we would have missed out on God's purposes in this year that's coming up. That's why, remember I said in the beginning, unless we take care of the old, we can't step into the new. And so tonight is really about that. People are just late all the time. It's amazing. I just don't get it. And I'm, I mean, let me just talk heart to heart for a moment here, okay? Can I do that for a moment? We're talking about, you know, I'm not talking about work for, you know, you're late for work. I don't really care if you're late for work. Your boss might care, but, you know, that's your business. But if you're on time for work, surely you could be on time for God. No? I mean, if we say that He is the most important person in our life, surely this is the least that we can do. I was in North Korea a few years ago, and I was talking to a missionary there, Peter Han. Actually, you need to pray for Peter. He's actually in jail in China right now. And a really, really wonderful man. He's, you know, a Korean-American guy from Southern California. He's a grandfather. And so Peter, and so we were like touring through North Korea with him. And we spent a lot of time talking. He let me drive his four-wheel drive, which was so fun. Because, you know, North Korea's got no roads. So it was basically off-roading the whole time. And we were just spending a lot of time talking. And he said something so interesting. And he's talking about all these people that have come into northern China that want to go move to North Korea, but they're waiting for their visas and whatnot, so they're kind of stuck in China. And so they joined his school. He had a vocational school. And so they're working there, and he's training them in ministry. And so these are guys that have already left the United States, Canada, the UK. They brought their families along. And so they've already made that step of faith, that huge plunge into ministry and sacrifice and all these things. And he would meet with these guys and try to disciple them. And he would say, and they would say, like, God, I'm here for North Korea. You know, God has called me to do missions in North Korea. I'm all about North Koreans. But I'm not going to learn how to speak Korean. I'm all about North Korea, but don't ask me to eat kimchi. It's like, how do you minister to a Korean person without eating kimchi? It's like, what the heck? But that's what these missionaries came in. They were saying, I'm all about NK. God has, my life is about North Korea and serving and saving North Korean people. But don't ask me to eat kimchi, man. And he said there was this one fight. I mean, huge. It was like this huge drama that he had to step into that, I mean, he wanted to pull his hair out. And these missionaries were sharing apartments with each other to save money and costs and community. And then they would put their food in the refrigerator, and then some of these guys would label all of their food. In other words, like, these eggs are mine. This orange juice is mine. This butter is mine. I mean, they're sitting there labeling their food. I mean, have you ever heard about sharing, you know? But that wasn't the case. And he said the fight they got into was because one missionary got mad at another missionary because they drank his orange juice. This is no joke. So he had to step in and, like, resolve this huge conflict about, you drank my orange juice, man, and stuff. And yet, with their other breath, it's, what do they say? God has called me to North Korea. God has called me to missions. God has called me to serve, but don't drink my orange juice, man. You know? And stuff. And so, when I was hearing this, I was cracking up. I was like, what? That's crazy. I mean, what a kind of crazy idiot does stuff like that. And I was laughing, and then the Holy Spirit said, what about you? So, Sam, what about you? You say a lot of stuff, you know, about I belong to God. I belong to Christ. But what about you? Now, I'm hardly ever late to church, so that's not my issue. For you guys, that's your issue, man. It's a bad issue. You know, I mean, let me talk about lateness for just, let me just finish this. Okay? No, I want to hit home because this is important. You know, lateness, if you actually look, I'm talking about chronic. I'm not talking about you're late once in a while. I mean, everyone has grace. You'd be late once in a while, that's fine, because things happen in life, especially if you have kids, okay? When you have kids, you're going to figure it out too. Life is not as smooth as you like it to be. But in that, when it's repetitive, constant tardiness, Yeah, the psychologists have a word for it. You know what it's called? It's narcissism. Narcissism, at the end of the day, what it's about is love of self. In other words, I value my time more than I value your time. In other words, I'm more important than you are, and so you can wait for me because I'm more important than you are. Your time is not as important as my time. I mean, look at it in the books. It's a narcissistic trait that we have. And so in that regard, if you're late for house church, for church, are you saying you're more important than God? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Who are you keeping at bay? You know, I know, there's no, really, in the house of God, there's no reason to be late whatsoever. All right, let's do a resolution. Let's talk about a resolution. All right? 2015, don't ever be late for anything. I'm not talking about just church. I'm talking about everything. Don't ever be late for anything. Consider others as more important than yourself. Chronic lateness, tardiness, right? It's a serious selfishness issue. Okay, I'm done with that. Let's move on. Turn your Bible to Ezekiel 47. That was my introduction. Here's the text. So you guys are going to miss me when I'm gone, man. I'm telling you. Ezekiel 47. How do we turn stagnant water into a water that flows? And the only passage, as I was praying, the only passage that really came to my heart was this passage in Ezekiel. This is what we want, water that flows from the temple. Here's the word of the Lord, Ezekiel 47. Then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east, for the house faced east. And water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. And he brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate by way of the gate that faces east. And behold, water was trickling from the south side. When a man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water, water reaching the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the loins. Again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen, enough water to swim in a river that could not be forded. And he said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me back to the bank of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, on the bank of the river, there were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then he said to me, "These waters go out toward the eastern region and go down into the Arabah. Then they go toward the sea, made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the sea become fresh. And it will come about that every living creature with swarms in every place where the river goes will live. And there will be very many fish. These waters go there, and the others become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes. And it will come about that fishermen will stand beside it from En-Gedi to Eglah. And there will be a place for the spreading of nets. Their fish will be in according to their kinds, like the fish of the great sea. Very many, but its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. And by the river on its bank, on one side, on the other, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit, or they will bear every month, because their water flows from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing." Notice this. Here's this contrast. Here's this river of God that flows from the temple, flows from God's heart, from his very own house. It's flowing down. It touches everything that it touches, become fresh. That's what we want. We want to tap into this river of God. Unfortunately, the swamps and the marshes, that's what's meant by stagnant water, by the way, church. Stagnant water is the swamp and marshes. It's where mosquitoes are. Dang, I hate mosquitoes. That's where they live. It's smelly. It's gross. That's the condition of our church 2014. I'm going to say it again, just for effect. Right? That is really the condition of our church in 2014. And we need to get this right quick. I'm serious. We need to get this right quick. You know? So this is what happens. He takes the Son of Man out, and he's coming to this place. Look what the first thing the water does. The water reaches the ankles. In other words, we need to learn how to walk. We need to learn how to walk again. And then water reaches the knees. We need to learn how to pray once again. We need to learn how to get on our knees before the Lord. And then water reaches the loins. And then we need to learn how to reproduce. We need to learn how to disciple. And then it gets to the place where there's water to swim in, a place of absolute surrender, where our life is not our own, but belongs to God. This is the river of life. He teaches us how to walk, then he teaches us how to pray, and then he teaches us to disciple. And then as we're walking, as we're praying, as we're discipling, the next thing that happens is we come into this place of absolute surrender. I mean, I really believe that God is expanding our vision and our scope. He's doing something that goes beyond anything that we ever imagined. Right? In order to see this done, again, this is our participation. It's going to take a different kind of faith. It's going to take a different kind of attitude. It's going to take a different kind of perspective. It's going to take a different kind of servanthood. And so this is the question. How do we position ourselves for this? How do we position ourselves for this place of authority? How do we position ourselves? How can we jump in to this river? I don't know. That's my answer. I don't know. I don't know how this is going to happen. It's got to be a God thing. But this I do know. Brothers and sisters, the greatest obstacle is going to be ourselves. Say it to yourself. The greatest obstacle is me. Go ahead. The greatest demonic force coming against us is going to be selfishness. Love of self over and above love for God and love for others. Here's what he says in Mark chapter 12. Jesus says, this is the Shema, going back to the Deuteronomy passage. Jesus answered when the lawyer asked him, and he said, the foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. We should love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. We should also love our neighbors as we also should love ourselves. See, I think that's the order that it should come in. You guys get it? Love God, love others, love ourselves. Love God, number one. Love others, number two. Love ourself, number three. Usually what happens is we love myself, number one. Love myself, number two. Love myself, number three. Four, okay, God, you're in there, and love myself, number five. And then others, family, okay, six, right? People I don't like, forget it. Enemies, nope, don't exist. I mean, it's something, isn't it? And I think he makes it really clear. There's God's doing something. Like I said, there is a healthy love of self that Jesus refers to, but there's also a very sinister love of self that is oftentimes masked in spirituality. This, my friends, and this is more for you. If you've been a Christian for a little bit of time, I'm talking to you. If you're a new Christian, just zone out for a moment, okay? And so that's not going to be so difficult for you. Zone out for a moment, but listen. There is a very sinister love of self that's often masked in layers of spirituality. This is what I call spiritual entitlement. Spiritual entitlement. We come to the Lord and we say things like this: Lord, because I showed up today, you owe me something. Lord, because I'm fasting, you better do something for me. Now, we would never say that outwardly because we're too religious. We've learned how to play this Christian game. But in our hearts, that's how we feel. God, I prayed about this thing. You know, it wasn't really that clear, but I believe you're leading me into this. And so you venture off into the new business, into the new relationship, whatever it may be. But it was really all about you. And then it doesn't work out. And they say, God, what happened? What's going on here? Why didn't you bless me in this regard? And God just says, well, because it was all about you. Where was I in this equation? You know, I mean, how did this whole thing come about? How did this whole thing work? It's spiritual entitlement. It's like a two-year-old child who seems so demanding of his parents. Right? Can I talk about my kids for a moment? I love my kids, okay? I mean, I love my kids. And but my third one, number three, man, she's a feisty little one. Her name's Hannah. And Hannah, whenever we do something, whenever she sees something, she always first thing, Appa, 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 Appa. Can you get that? I want she doesn't even say I want it. She's beyond that. She's so smart. She goes, I need it. I was like, why do you need this? It's because Appa, I need it. Why do you need Appa, I need it. And she figured out if she can just like extrapolate the need longer, it becomes more important or something. And so as we get further in the conversation, the need gets longer. And it's always, Papa, I need it. Can you get it for me? Right? And I remember our kids, when we're on the internet, on Amazon, and looking at stuff. And they're like, Papa, can you buy this for me? I was like, what? No, I'm not going to buy this for you. So why should I buy this for you? Because you're rich. I was like, I am? I guess in their eyes, I am. You know, they just see money coming out of the wallet magically. Right? They don't know about work and, you know, all these other things. And so this spiritual entitlement is like this little child that's always demanding something from their parents. This child has become the center of the universe. The entire world must revolve around his needs or her needs, his wants, her wants, their desires. It's crazy. We learn this as parents. You know, here's a word for new parents, okay, that are new here. You know, for a while, it's okay that your child is the center of the universe. It's natural, especially your first child. But you keep that up. I'm telling you, you keep that up. You're not doing your child any service of the Lord, right? I mean, you keep putting your child first before everything else. Man, this might sound really harsh, okay? But you're creating a jerk in the making. I'm sorry, right? That's what you're creating, a very self-centered child in the making. It's the child is not the center. I know she's cute and, you know, and he's adorable, and, you know, and you know, you love the drool that comes out of their mouth and whatnot. And I understand that. I mean, it's fantastic. I'm not saying anything less than that. But that child is not the center of your universe. God is. And the moment anything replaces God, you're in for it. Is that okay to say that? You're in for it. Get your priorities in order. Same thing, you guys that are in new dating relationships and whatnot, you know, it's great. God's blessed you with a boyfriend or girlfriend. Let me tell you something, man, right? That person is not the center of your universe, Right? The moment you start doing that, the moment you start doing your relationship a huge disservice. Right? God isn't the center of your life and your relationship. The moment you move him from that, it's a disaster. You know, my father, Elisa's grandfather, bought Elisa a bicycle for Christmas. So I've been teaching her how to ride a bike. So she got it today. It was awesome. So we're riding around this afternoon. And it's interesting. You know, because I'm a pastor, I spiritualize everything. And so even while she was riding a bike, I was thinking of all kinds of stuff. And I was mesmerized by the wheel, the spokes of the wheel. There's a center to that wheel. And if that center where all the spokes come to, if it's not in the center, you got one wobbly ride and you're going to crash, basically. That's a simple reality. You're going to crash. God must be your center. If God is not your center, it's just not going to work. And you can sit here and you may be very cynical, like, oh, what's this guy talking about, blah, blah, blah. Try me. Go out. Go. Leave this place. Put work in the center of your life. You're going to be one miserable bastard for a while, man. Honestly. Oh, is that pretty harsh, right? Excuse me. You're going to be very miserable. You try it out, right? Start putting other things in the middle of your life. Tell me how that works out in a year from now. Right? You're going to see it just doesn't work. Life, listen, brothers and sisters, life was not meant to be lived in that way. Jesus Christ came that we might have life and have it abundantly. God's not trying to steal or rob or take away anything from you. God's trying to give you real life. This is the way he designed life to work. And unfortunately, we went about and did other things and put other things in the middle. It's this very sinister thing, right? It's amazing how this love of self operates. You know, there's people that are not working, you know, as a part of our church. And every once in a while we'll ask them, hey, you're not working? Why don't you come and help out at church? You know, why don't you come, you know, volunteer at church? You know, often the response that we get is, you'd be shocked. People say, what's in it for me? What? Dang. No wonder you don't have a job. Right? Who's going to hire you, man? What's in it for me? What do I get out of it? It's crazy. It's such a crazy mentality that is so seeped into the fabric of our church life. Why should I come to prayer? Why should I wake up? What am I going to get out of it? Why should I fast? What? Not eat for 21 days? What? Are you crazy? What am I going to get out of that? You know, besides losing weight, clear skin, you know, and clear mind and all these wonderful things. But, you know, I mean, what am I going to... It's amazing how, you know, why should I do a discipleship class? What am I going to get out of that class? Man, you start thinking like that. Like I said, it's spiritual entitlement. It's self-centeredness cloaked in piety. And the moment we start moving in that direction is the moment you lose yourself. That's why we come into stagnant waters. Let me give you the antidote. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. I'm turning third base right now. I'm coming home, peoples. I'm coming home. Well, nice of you guys to join us. Huh? Philippians chapter 2. We'll talk later. Philippians chapter 2. This is what he says from verse 3 to 5. Do nothing from selfishness. So let me find myself. Oh, sorry, I need my glasses. All right. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the biblical principle. That's the antidote to this whole thing. If we're going to pursue the attitude of Christ, it will require that we get out of ourselves. It will require that we get out of ourselves. Galatians 2:20, "For I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me." I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lived. Because I've been crucified with Christ, I am no longer my own boss. Because I'm crucified with Christ, I no longer chart my own path. Because I have been crucified with Christ, I no longer control my own agenda. See, it's something, right? This is what our faith is about. Let's take a deep, deep look at our hearts tonight. Let's see, maybe for the first time, how much we are at the center of the universe instead of Jesus Christ. 2015, brothers and sisters, is about Jesus. It's not about us. It's about Him. The moment you make it about you, you've lost it. You've lost the game plan. 2015, Lord, how can I please you? How can I learn what is pleasing to the Lord? How can I live my life in a way that pleases God instead of myself? This is what this year, it's about Him. It's not about me, and it's not about you. Amen? Let's close our eyes. In order for us to step in to this authority, the apostolic, the structure of God, there's going to have to be some change. There's no other way to say that. There's going to have to be some change. In the beginning of this year, I'm going to call our whole church to a heart check. A serious heart check. It starts tonight. Who is in the center? Who is the master of your universe? Is it you? Or is it God? Or is it your baby? Or your girlfriend? Or your job, or your bank account, or your basketball? Who is in the center? Let's examine how we lived our life in 2014. Does what we say, what we did, how we lived, is it indicative of God being the center? Or am I in the center? The way I live my life, am I Lord? Or is God Lord? Did I just do what I wanted to do? Did I endeavor at all to do what God wanted to do me to do? This is the verse for our prayer tonight. Acts chapter 3. Repent and return, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. As we leap into this next year, this is a call to repentance. It's a solemn assembly into getting our hearts right with God. Listen, you can't step into the new until you've taken care of the old. Brothers and sisters, let's take care of business tonight. Let's put Jesus the Christ in his rightful place as Lord of our life. Let's recommit our hearts to him and him alone. Let's remove our babies, our jobs, our relationships, our finances, whatever is encapsulating our attention, especially in 2014. And let's pray tonight. Forget about the countdown. It's not important. Let's pray. Let's just get before God honestly. Let's repent. Let's give him our heart. Let's ask him to forgive us of our sins and to equip us for every good work. Let's ask for courage and strength to fight the good fight of faith, so we will not be Satan's punching bags anymore. Let's pray. Worship team, why don't you lead us as we go before the Lord. The worship team is continuing to lead us. I'm going to ask you to inconvenience yourself a bit. I'm going to ask you, if God is stirring something in your heart, I want you to get out of your seats. I want you to come. I want you to kneel before the Lord. I just want you to spend time with him. That's all. Real simple, okay? And so it's not going to be the easy way tonight. We've had it so easy for such a long time. I'm going to ask you to literally get out of your seats, get on your knees before God, participate in some way, connect with this message in some way in your hearts. If this is what God's speaking to you about, that, yeah, maybe this year it was really all about me. It was about yourself. Something needs to change. Right? And so I'm going to be calling you to inconvenience yourselves quite a bit during this year. Right? Let's get rid of that culture of convenience. And so if the Lord is speaking to you and you genuinely want to repent in your heart, and there's something stirring, I want you to come. We're going to just continue to worship. No one's going to pray with you, okay? And so this is not ministry for you. You're just going to pray. You're going to seek God's face. This is what we need at this time. So I just invite you to come. Let's get before the Lord.
Jesus.
We're just going to keep praying and just asking the Lord to lead us. So I was praying. I just had some simple impressions, and so I just want to just obey the Lord in that regard. But Andrew, can you stand up for a moment? Andrew, can you stand up? Just close your eyes. Yeah, stand up, man. Can we get some people around Andrew? Matt, can you just come and... close your eyes, just open your hands. I just really felt the Lord just really speaking to me about you tonight. And it's almost like God has been reducing you a bit, just a little bit at a time, just reducing and reducing and reducing. And he's just, what he's trying to do is just lay out the platform for you right now. And in your heart, he calls you his friend. Andrew, you're a real friend of God. I know there's so many more things you want to experience in the Lord. And I feel like this year it's coming. It's coming. The fullness of the expression of God in your life is coming. And I feel like in that way that reducing is going to stop. Now it's done its job. It's in James 1. You know, consider all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials. Because it's testing of our faith. And I feel like God just wants to encourage you tonight, and you've really come through that place of testing. You're a real friend of God. And so God just wants to bless you. So we just bless Andrew, Lord. Just fill him up, God, with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you. There, just all over you, man. Take him deeper, God. Take him deeper, Jesus. Thank you, God. I got that passage in the book of Psalm. It says, commit your work to the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. I feel like there's a few things that you've been really desiring. It's coming. It's coming. So just release, God, this friend of God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Matt, can you just minister to him? All right. I felt like there's someone in this room tonight, and you've just broken up with somebody, or I don't know exactly what it is, some kind of loss, and you're having a really tough time really dealing with it. I feel like the Lord just wanted to comfort you. Who's that in this room right now? I know I don't want to really necessarily put you on the spot in this regard and things, but there's something of some kind of loss is the kind of the word I got and things. And so I feel like God just really wants to just embrace you and just love you and really comfort you right now. If you're not too embarrassed, and if not right now, it's okay. Then you just come talk to me afterwards and just want to just pray and minister to you. But if you're not that embarrassed, you know, someone here just going through, just broke up with somebody or just some kind of loss or something, and it's really weighing quite heavily on you, just stand up and, all right, is that you? What's your name?
Janice,
okay. Can we have some sisters come? There it is. That's right there. That's the comfort of the Lord right there. Lord, we just ask you to bless Janice right now. Just love her, God. Holy Spirit, we just give her to you completely. Yeah. I know, Janice, you have so much love. Huh? You have so much of yourself that you've been giving and giving and giving all the time. And the Lord's taken note of that in your life. And unfortunately, this thing didn't work out. But don't worry, you just keep giving and giving and keep loving. And God's going to restore. There's going to be a part of you that you know, an instinct is to close our heart off to others and especially to God. But God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to open your heart up even more to Him. And I think you've been doing that a little bit more anyway. And so, Lord, we just bless Janice, God. We thank you for this sister. We thank you for her courage, God. Just comfort her, Lord. Let it come. More of you, Holy Spirit. That's right. There it is right there. Let the Holy Spirit come. Deeper. Thank you, God. Yeah, can you ladies just minister to her? Thank you, God. You know, the reality, friends, is like as we step into this year, there's no way we can do it on our own. Even if we repent and do, I mean, that's a great part. But we can't ever do that on our own. We need the help of the Spirit. We need God to move in and touch us in ways and just bring life into things that even have died inside of our own hearts. And so I want to invite you right now to just, even where you're seated, just close your eyes. I mean, you've taken care of business with God. It shouldn't really take that long to do that. It's simple prayers that we offer to Him that He receives. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And so now, out of this place, I'm just going to ask you just to invite just more of the Holy Spirit in your life. Remember, the emblem of the Spirit is the dove. It's interesting, isn't it? It's the dove. It's this very flail creature that is very easily spooked. And if you just simply bring an openness in your life, you create an atmosphere in your heart where the Holy Spirit is welcome, man, God just begins to move. And so right where you're at, just pray, come, Holy Spirit. See, this is something that you can do for you that helps you become more God-centered. I know it sounds crazy, but this is something you do for you. Thank you, Jesus. I want to encourage you to just keep going before the Lord. But I want to do a kind of a prophetic act for a moment. If you've been a part of Solomon's Porch, I'd say for 7 years or more, I want you to stand up where you're at. Now, you've been part of this church for 7 years or more. Now, there's a few of you in here. Can I invite you guys that are standing, that have been part of this church? The first thing I want to say is thank you, obviously. Right? Thank you for your partnership, especially. It means the world to my wife and I, and to leaders of the church. But now I'm going to call you to do something different. I'm going to call you into repentance. Can I ask you to pray for all of our old members that have become very, very stagnant? I'm going to ask you to stand in the gap. And no names, right? I mean, it's not names. It's just it's the populace in that regard. And can I invite you? And then I want you guys to just join in and just cover these guys. This is just simply what's called identificational repentance. And there's some authority that they have because they have identified. They're numbered with the transgressors in that regard. And so can I invite you just to step into that place of prayer and just cover. And if you're around one of these, just slightly lay your hands or, you know, on their leg or something as they're standing. You're kneeling. And it's asking them to stand. I feel like I'm praying something breaks tonight. That spirit just breaks over our old timers. Yes, Jesus. Break it, God. Breakthrough. Release, Lord. Release. Pray through, Jesus. Pray through, Jesus. Thank you, God. Release. God. Break it, Lord. In Jesus' name. The complacency, that entitlement, Lord, the passivity. Awaken us, God. Awake us from our slumber, Lord. Awake us, Lord. You know, repentance opens the door into life. And so tonight, it's not just about that. It's not just about repenting, but it opens the door into life. It ultimately, opened the door into our eternal life when we repented of our sins and trusted Christ. But also in other things, when we repent or seek forgiveness, even with our spouses, it opens the door to life. It opens the door to relationship, to renewing. And so I don't want this tonight just to be gloomy, you know. That's not really the whole intention. And so to that end, like I said, you take care of the old and we step into the new. Hopefully, I feel like we're taking care of stuff, and so it's good. Now we're going to step into the new, okay? And so these are just some areas that I feel like God just really wants to bless. So you guys can sit down now. And I'm just really going to pray for just the blessing of the Lord. I don't want to do this, but I don't want to embarrass too many people. And so if you're okay with this, I really am praying to God for a blessing over relationships, right? And so, again, I'm not meaning to embarrass anyone or anything like that. But in your heart, if you're like, yeah, P-Sam, I'm game, you know, I'm in line for starting a relationship in 2015. You don't have to stand up or anything. Just a yes in your heart, okay? And things. And so let me just pray over that and just really just bless. Father, we bless. Lord, we just release an apostolic blessing, God, over our church, over our men and women, God, that are ready for relationship, Lord, that are ready to really make a commitment to one another, Lord God. And we pray that the fullness of love would be expressed, God. The eros, phileo, and agapeo, God. That there would be passion, Lord. That there would be commitment, Lord. And there would be friendship and intimacy. And so, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would open the door for even some of them supernaturally, God. I feel like there's some of you, it's going to totally come out of left field. And you're going to be walking this literally. You're going to be walking one day. You're going to see someone probably, you know, that you've known for a while, and the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you, and you're going to know. And it's going to be an amazing thing. And the cool thing is the other person's going to know too. So it's not going to be like, well, I know and you don't know. And, you know, it's not one of those weird kind of things that happens. And there's going to be a knowing that happens simultaneously together. And so, Lord, we just release, God. And so I also, God, know that the enemy has really been playing a lot of games and has been having a field day and talking about their unworthiness or even you're not ready and those kind of things. Lord, God, we just toss all that stuff to the pit of hell, God. The reality is no one is ready for marriage, Lord. No one by in any means is ready for marriage. And so, Lord, we just ask, God, that you would help each of them individually, God, to walk in the as Christ is the center. And then out of that place, God, the spokes of that wheel would come into alignment, God, and it'll happen. It'll cause things to move and to grow. And so we just cover, God, relationships right now. Lord, I bless, God, this congregation as a pastor, God. Lord, I bless, Lord, with the highest blessing of the Lord, God, that you'd open up the door of relationships. Help them to keep it pure, God. Because, Lord, that's the sexuality that we throw in is the greatest enemy, God, of these relationships that you want to have. And so help them to keep it pure, Lord, in their bodies and in their speech, God. Right now, in Jesus' name. And just right now, in just a moment, just yourself, just agree with the Lord with that. Just agree with him. Says, yeah, I agree with that prayer and that word right now. And so that's just coming into alignment before God. Just do that right now. I give you a moment to do that. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. I now just want to just pray a blessing over our families, over our kids, over our your parents. So your families being, you know, your kids and your wife and all that, but also your brothers and sisters, your mothers and fathers and all that kind of stuff. And I just want to just pray a prayer of blessing over them. So Father, we just bless our families right now. Lord, as we step into 2015, Lord, we cancel every sickness, God, that's come against our families now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We break it, God, right now, Lord. Father God, we cancel every curse, Lord, that's been on our families. Lord, it could be generationally. Lord, we don't care where it came from. We just cancel it right now in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, we pray, God, that even relationally, I feel like in some of your families right now that there's a relational discord in your families right now. For whatever reason, someone misunderstood somebody else. And I really feel it. There's a lot of tension. in your families. And so right now, just agree with me in prayer. Lord, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, we just release, God, those tensions to be softened. And just pray yourself right now. Say, Lord, give me the words, Lord, when I'm with my family. Lord, help me to really bring healing into these relationships, God. And I feel like there's going to be some gatherings that some of you guys are at in your family, and you're going to be in the midst of all the tension. You're going to pray, but you're going to say a word. God's going to give you a word to speak, and it's going to bring so much truth to that, that the lies of the enemy is just going to fall off. And so, Lord, we just pray, God, that you said that in that hour, in that moment, Lord, that you will give us what to say, and the Holy Spirit will speak through us on our behalf. And so right now, Lord, we pray that for these gatherings, that they would be equipped to warfare, Lord, to bring healing in its wings, God. And so we bless, Father, right now. There's some of you in this room, and you are very concerned about the financial health of your parents. And you know, whatever it may be, and there's a lot that you feel quite heavy in your heart dealing with finances in your family. I'm talking about your mother and father. And so, and it's not necessarily that they've mismanaged their funds or whatnot. It is what it is, okay? And so, and I feel like God just wants to bless you because you've been living with a lot of guilt. And, you know, even like when you think about vacation, it's been tough for you because, oh, you know, I could use this money to help them and whatnot. And I just feel like the Lord just, first of all, just wants to just release you from that guilt. And because you're a good son. There's a few of you men here. I feel like the Lord's saying that to you. You're a good son. Right, so just don't live in that guilt. So, Lord, we just wipe it off of my brothers in this room right now that may be feeling that, God. And ultimately, what you need to do is you need to give your parents to Jesus. He is their caretaker, not you. You're a part of it, but He is the ultimate caretaker. And so, Lord, we just pray, God. Lord, particularly, there's a few brothers that just keeps on the forefront of my heart. So, Lord, particularly I pray for my brothers. I feel like there's like three or four of you here. Lord, especially, God, would you just minister to them? Listen to the first words. God said, you're a good son. You're a good son. Lord, we cancel the lies of the enemy off of them. Lord, we cancel, God, the unnecessary guilt, Lord, upon their life. Lord, help them to enjoy their life, God, that you've given to them. And also be able to help their family. Lord, give them strategies and ideas, God, and how they can do that, Father. And also just open up the door, God, for their parents financially as well. Just release in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. You know, I very rarely say things like this, but I really feel it really strong. For you guys that are here, I encourage you, set aside a bit of your money. Pray. God's going to give you an investment. I don't know what it is, but I just feel that word. God's going to give you an investment. It's going to do fantastic. And that's going to really be something that's going to be used to help your family. And so just you know, set in your heart, set aside some funds. You know, a portion of your salary, whatever it is, be very earnest about putting it away every month, and then ask the Lord. He's gonna just drop something on your lap, and ask the Lord about a financial strategy or an investment, and it's gonna come. It's just gonna be highlighted to you, and I want you to put that money into that investment and watch God just flourish that thing, right? You know, in 20 years, I've never said anything like that in my life. And so I'm not one of those guys that do that. So hear the word of the Lord and just go for it in that regard. And so, Lord, just continue to bless them and just continue to cover our families, God, as we just really not only necessarily seek the peace financially, relationally, but also their health, their very well-being, God, as we give our parents and our family to you, Lord. Thank you. We bless them, God, in Jesus' name. And if you resonate with that, if that's something that's on your heart, just agree with God in prayer right now. And so, in other words, just align yourself with the prayer that I just prayed. It was a long prayer, but just align yourself with that prayer right now and say, yes, God, I receive that. I'm committed to my family and covering them and whatnot. So you just do that right now. I'll give you a moment to do that. The next blessing that I want to just pray over is your work. And so there's something about your work. Some of you guys are having a really, really difficult time at work. That's not a prophetic word. That's just normal, okay? And so, but it's, I mean, it's a really, really difficult time. And I feel like, I'll just pray. Father, we just cover our work right now, Lord. Our professions. Some of you in this room, you're in the wrong profession. You're in the wrong profession. It's just real simple. You should be doing something else. And God's going to make it very clear to you this year about that transition. But some of you, and I feel like this is quite a few number of you, as God's kind of speaking to me, is that you're in the right profession. In other words, you're in the right job, but you're just not very happy. And I think God really wants to minister to you tonight. And so, Lord, I just pray, God, for my brothers and sisters here that are in the job that you want them to be in, God, but just for whatever reason, just do not feel that fulfilled. For some of them, they have very difficult bosses. For some of them, God, they're in a very difficult corporate culture. Whatever the reason, Lord, I pray, I bless them with a new joy in their work. Lord, I bless them, God, with the ability, God, to move away from, I'm not saying selfishness, but from a self-centeredness, God, into a God-centeredness. Lord, that they're not working for themselves, they're working for you. You are their boss. God, you are the one that pays their salary. And so I pray for a mind shift and a heart shift at the same time as well. That they're in the job that they should be in, Lord, but they're not too happy about it. Lord, move in their heart right now. If you resonate with that, just begin to talk to God about it right now. Say, yeah, God, I know I'm in the right place, but there's something going on with my heart. Forgive me, Jesus. And watch what God does. God's just going to start moving in your heart, and He's going to give you joy. He's going to give you joy even with that difficult boss. He's going to give you joy in that different culture. So, Lord, we just continue to bless our workplaces, God. Lord, I pray for our friends here, God. I pray for our church, Lord, that, God, promotion after promotion after promotion would come. Lord, because you're just going to continue to widen the influence, Lord God. And then they're going to just continue to speak your truth, Lord, into these places. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would just take them to the next level, the next level, the next level. Lord, this is my heart, God, and I believe this is your heart too, Lord, that every person, God, in this place is going to get promoted this year, God, in some form or fashion, Lord. So we just ask you right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, just to release that, God, into the midst of us, Lord. Release, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Man, just if that's what you feel like God downloading to you, just resonate with that, or you resonate, just agree with the Lord right now. So yes, God, yes, Lord. And just begin to pray into those purposes. I'll give you a moment to do that right now. Thank you, Jesus. The last thing that I want to pray over us tonight is dealing with our spirituality, our relationship with Jesus. Right? He saves the best for last, huh? And so I just want to just cover us in just a prayer blessing over our spiritual life, our prayer life, our thought life, our, you know, in other words, you know, what we set our eyes to. It should be the Word of God. It should be things that are above and not below. It should be things that are worthy of Him. And so we just want to set apart even the issues dealing with our time before the Lord. Also, spirituality dealing with our lateness, right? Of chronically coming late, especially to church and house church and things like that. That's a spiritual issue as well. And so we're just going to ask the Lord and love for God, for others will pour out of this place. Let's pray right now. So Father, Lord, we just give you our spiritual life once again. Lord, we are not human beings, God, enjoying a temporary spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings enjoying a temporary human experience. So Lord, as spiritual beings, God, every single one of us, help us, God, to set ourselves into the Spirit, Lord God. Lord, as spiritual beings, Lord, we want to be more in tune with the Holy Spirit. God, we want to come in alignment with the Spirit of God. Lord, we want to come in alignment, God, with your Word, God, with your power. Father, I pray that this year in 2015, Lord, that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that we would be more humble this year, that something in our heart would move and change, that we would consider others as more important than ourselves, God. Let the Philippians 2, the kenosis passage, Lord, really speak volumes about the way that we're going to live our life in 2015. And so, Lord, we bless the congregation, God, with closeness, Lord, that we would draw near to God, Lord, and as we do that, you would draw near to us. And so, Lord, we bless the congregation with intimacy with God. Lord, move in our hearts, God, that we desire and want to be intimate, Lord. And we bless the congregation with, Lord, with a heart of service and serving the Lord. That it wouldn't be, I have to do this. Oh, man, I can't. But it'd be, I want to do this. I want to serve God. I want to love people. And so, Lord, we pray for a change in our hearts in that way, God, where we've been very reluctant to serve, very reluctant to pray for people and whatnot, and that you just change our hearts in that way. We bless the congregation, Lord, with that in such a powerful way, God, that truly our spirit, Lord, would come alive within us, Lord God. The river of living water would flow out of us, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, when it deals with our spirituality as spiritual beings, Lord, that we want to step into something, God, this year. Lord, we just bless the congregation. They would experience you greater and deeper than they've ever experienced you before, God. Lord, that they would step into something so powerful this year, Lord, that it would just really rock us and change us, Lord. I know many of us, and there's a lot of you here, and you've never really experienced God. You know, you've seen other people, and I'm not talking about crying and emotions and whatnot. I'm just talking about, I mean, just an incredible testimony of God's presence that comes down. And we're going to pray over you, Lord, for my friends, God, that are here in this place that have felt that, that feel like they've never really experienced your fire in that way. Lord, we pray that this year would be the year, God, that 2015 would be the year where they experience the fire of God. Lord, that the pure cleansing of the Lord in a very dramatic way, God. And so we ask you to release that right now in Jesus' name over my friends, God. Thank you, Father God. And just right now, if you agree with that and just in your heart and just something about as a spiritual being and your spirituality, your heart for God, your love for God and serving others and serving the church, just let that resonate within you and just agree with God in prayer right now. Thank you, God. We're a community. Why don't you grab someone's hand? You guys can stand up a little easier. Let's go across the aisle. Welcome to 2015. Let's pray for each other, huh? This is your first prayer for someone this year, man. Make it count. Make it effective. Let's cry out to the Lord on behalf of one another right now. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we give you everything, God. Lord, it's just simply because you're worth it, Lord. We give you our lives, God, our families, our jobs, our kids. Lord, we give you everything. Lord, because you gave everything to us. And so, Lord, help us, God, that this year that we will shout forth your praise. God, that our lives will be about you and not about us. It's not about me, Lord. It's all about Jesus. You're worth it, God. And so continue to teach us and lead us, Lord. You are the worthy one. Lord, help us to be so infatuated with Jesus this year. God, help us to be so, God, even so moved in our heart, Lord. We just get lost, God, in your gaze at us. Teach us and lead us this year. Help us, God, like just we sang, we give you everything. Lord, you are worthy of it, God. Only you. God, our jobs are not worthy of it, God. Even our families are not worthy of it, Lord. Only you are worthy to receive. And so we gladly offer up our lives to you, Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you for 2014, Lord God. We learned tons. God, we were broken. We grew. We were molded, God. We went through our ups and downs, Lord. We walked through the valley of the shadow of death. And so we thank you, God, for this year. But Lord, we look forward, God, and we launch ourselves into 2015 with everything, God. We thank you, Lord. We love you, God. We bless you, Lord God. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this year forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Hug your neighbor and say, Happy New Year. Thanks for praying for me. Appreciate it. I'm surprised you guys, so many of you guys stayed this time.